This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Jake's in for Andy today. NCAA basketball on our air tonight. We'll have the championship game, Florida against Houston. So you can listen in. Jake won't be doing his show tonight, but you'll be back at it on Tuesday, right?
I will indeed.
Hey, before we get into the torpedo bat, I want to send out a congratulations. Several years ago, we had a young guy on our show, Maxwell Moldovan, who was a golfer from Green and was at Ohio State. And Maxwell had, I think, he'd qualified for the U.S. Open, right? Was on his way to the U.S. Open, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that sounds right. On.
And congratulations to Maxwell. He won his first professional tournament over the weekend, and he did it in Brazil. Brazil. And how's this for cool? Is this a great way to win a tournament? He's on 18, okay? He has to get down in two to force a tie, and he's got a 50-foot putt, and he made it for eagle.
Jeez.
To win. 50-footer for eagle to win.
Yeah, it's absurd.
He's playing on the PGA Tour Americas at the Brazil Open. So congratulations to Maxwell Moldovan. We're happy for him, and we knew him when. Before he ever won, we knew him. So that's really good. I'm really happy for him.
I'm sure he sent out his congratulations to you just as you did to him.
I'm sure he did, yeah. Yeah. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred talked about the torpedo bat craze that's suddenly all over the place in Major League Baseball. And, of course, we know the deal. The Yankees hit some home runs and had a phenomenal series. And they're at the top of everything right now in Major League Baseball stats, batting average, run scored. They're right up there. But Manfred came out and made some comments about it that I actually agree with. And one thing he said, it was in a Q&A session with the New York Times, The Athletic, and he talked about the future of the torpedo bat and explained that they are good for baseball. And his quote is, "I believe that issues like the torpedo bat and the debate around it demonstrate the fact that baseball still occupies a unique place in our culture because people get into a complete frenzy over something that's really nothing at the end of the day." He said the bats comply with the rules. Players have actually been moving the sweet spots around in bats for years, which is true. You know, they're looking for an edge. But it demonstrates that something about the game is more important than is captured by television ratings or revenue or any of those things when you have the discussions and the debates about it. And I think he's right. I don't often agree with Rob Manfred, but I think that torpedo bats are good for the game. And Jake, one key reason why, it's a piece of wood. You're not allowed to stuff it with super balls anymore. You're not allowed to put cork in it. So what can you do with it? You can use different types of wood, which has been a common thing that players have tried to do. But this is just kind of changing the shape, the structure a little bit, and trying to manipulate a piece of wood. Nothing wrong with that. They fit within the rules.
Maybe it's just stuck up baseball person in me. Maybe it is that I just look at it and I'm like, I don't like that. And maybe it's just because it was the Yankees. Maybe that plays into a fact of it. That's where it's really highlighted. I hate it. The idea that you're just essentially, again, like you've tried to move the sweet spot. This is obviously the most dramatic that we've seen in terms of reshaping the actual bat. But I just look at, like, Anthony Volpe is my main, my main indicator of why I don't like it, because I look at it and I look at every single home run he's hit this year. By the way, four, I think, after hitting like 12 last year while playing in Yankee Stadium. He's already up to four. And it's, I think it was a Joe Buck call from the ESPN broadcast. He literally goes, up, oh, Volpe pops it up to right. And that ball landed over the wall. In combination, a short porch and right for Yankee Stadium and a ball that really wouldn't have had a chance because it was inside on the hands of Volpe where he hits just about everything and then it goes. You almost take out, not part of the skill of it, but part of the adjustment for hitters. It's like, adjust to hit it at the sweet part of the bat the way that everybody's been doing their entire childhood, growing up, going into the majors, and instead it's just kind of a, well, you'll probably hit better with this.
There's another guy who's, you know, I mean, this, it couldn't work out better for this guy. His name's Keenan Long, and he's with a company called Long Ball Labs. And he's weighed in on this, and he's done a bunch of interviews, and he was on MLB Now and all kinds of things. And he said he wanted to point out something that people have butchered through this whole thing. And the typical baseball bat is, you know, just think of it, you know, the bat stays at least as wide, you know, at the end of the bat, then because they're, you know, the torpedo bat tapers it at the end, but the normal bat structure, it's not really tapered, it's just rounded off at the end. He says it's a complete fallacy that the end of the bat is not important. And I think that's interesting because he said he keeps hearing this fallacy that the mass end of the barrel is not productive in the collision with the ball. I thought this is a lab guy talking. He said that's a fallacy. He said that's not true at all. He said it's a universal claim that it's good to take away mass from the barrel end of the bat. And he says no. But the torpedo bat's a little different. He said, I want to be clear, it's not true in the physics of hitting a baseball with a bat. He said the physics of the bat-ball collision in that 1 millisecond when the bat and the ball are touched is governed by the conservation of linear momentum, and the mass end of the barrel contributes to that equation even more so than the mass. So there you go. So it's working for some guys, but this dude who, you know, physicist, knows all this stuff, bat, all that stuff, he says, no, that stuff's important too. Which might be why Aaron Judge is still smashing the ball and not using a torpedo bat.
Right, it's not,
it's
like,
still the guy swinging the bat.
Yeah, you still have to hit the ball. It's not, and it's not great for everybody. I think that was the main point that the Yankees made. It's like, just don't put this in the hands of every single hitter, and it's,
and they're immediately better.
Yeah, these aren't steroids
because
that we're putting,
by God,
in their hands.
If that's the case, we're getting them for half the guys in the Guardians lineup.
Yeah, it's just the way that certain guys hit. You adjust it, and if they're constantly in on the hands slightly, it's not like you're getting sawed off every single time, and now you're hitting home runs when you're getting hit 3 inches above your hand. But if you struggle with your swing to get it hit what is the traditional sweet part of the bat, and you keep handcuffing yourself with the ball a little bit and jamming yourself, well, this is sort of a quick fix to actually fixing the problem. That's where it bothers me, is instead of the adjustment to be made, it's a quick fix. It's, well, don't change your swing at all. It's a good swing. We'll just change the bat.
The one thing about this that I think is fascinating is that it's just a piece of wood. It's clearly, you know, guys have their specifics and everything else, and it's a big deal. But I do love the fact that Major League Baseball, and you know, think about how hard Major League Baseball players could hit if they use some of the different types of bat materials that are used at the college and high school level. I mean, it would be scary. And I'm glad that Major League Baseball hasn't gone to that. I'm glad they haven't put together composite types of bats and other things like that. They've stuck with wood. And I think that's the best way to go. The ball would jump off, you know, aluminum, whatever yeah, substance you want. It would be just terrible, I think, in Major League Baseball. And it would, I think it would really spoil the game. So I'm glad they've done that. But tinkering with a piece of wood and everything, that's fine. It's all in the rules. Especially in an age where, you know, if a hitter faces the same pitcher three times in a game, good luck. That rarely happens anymore.
Yeah. I think part of this, too, is I sit here and think about it, and of course Rob Manfred's going to tell you this is good for the game, right? Something very simple that in the rules they have written right now is not a problem, right? It's not juiced baseballs where you're like, you're clearly fiending for offensive production as a means to draw it back into the casual viewer. But the casual viewer, what do they want to see? See guys hit the ball. They want to see guys hit the ball over the
Absolutely.
Wall.
Absolutely.
They want to see home runs.
They want to see offensive action. Unless you're a freaky dude like me and loves watching great pitching.
Well, I do too. It's part of being the sort of baseball nerd side of it, right? But it draws in the casual viewer. If there's guys who traditionally aren't necessarily great hitters, right? And there's only a small change they need to make, and it is a torpedo bat. Yep. Again, I can point to Anthony Volpe from last year. Not really great offensive production. This year looks really good so far. If you can change that for the average viewer, it's great. Keep the torpedo bats. And what's Rob Manfred looking to do? Put eyes on the game. That's his most important job to some degree, is put eyes on the game. And if the torpedo bats don't break a rule in order to do it, I'm sure he'd love it.
It's just kind of funny that this is something that's occupied everybody early on in the season. Who would have thought it? You know, it's just a little change in bat, especially when they've been used in the past. This isn't just new this year. Giancarlo Stanton used them last year, as we saw against the Guardians in the playoffs. It just wasn't as, publicized, notarized, whatever. Because who literally pays attention to the bat that a guy's swinging? You just see a guy swinging a bat.
You think if the Milwaukee Brewers had five guys using this thing, anybody would have noticed?
Maybe because the game would have been more competitive. But one thing I keep going back to on this, a wise man by the name of Menegan, when this whole thing was going on, Dan just kept saying, have you seen the Brewers pitching staff? So think all you want about the torpedo bat. Does it help? I don't know. Did it help these guys? I don't know. Was the fact that the Brewers pitching staff was just horrendous in that series, is that more important? Dano, is that more important?
They figured it out a little, but they've also, I think, gave up 8 yesterday as well to a really crummy team. So I got a feeling Brewers pitching has got something to do with this.
That might be part of it. When it comes to getting smart people on the show, by golly, we're all in. And a really smart person is coming up next. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network will be joining us here. Her thoughts on, do you overdraft a quarterback because he plays quarterback and you need one? She's next on Baskin and Phelps with Jake Volnick in for Andy.